Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So you and I aren't really accustomed to what it's like to have a king. We've never had a royal family here in America, but you get a picture of what it would be like to see a king all dressed up in his royal robes with a crown on his head of gold with diamonds and rubies in it. We picture a king as someone who has splendor and majesty, whose very presence demands our respect. Jesus, of course, came to us as our king as well, but not in the way that we would expect. The words that we just read in our text make it clear. Jesus was and is God, but instead of ruling and reigning over us, acting like God when he came into this world, he made himself nothing. He became a servant. He took on human flesh, and so Jesus became the God-man. But Jesus, of course, didn't give up his divinity when he became man. He asserted his equality with God through his words and deeds, and the people of his day understood that. In John 5:18, it mentions that the leaders of the Jews hated Jesus because they recognized by what he was saying that he was making himself out to be equal with God. So it wasn't Jesus' essence that changed, but it was his role that did. He gave up that role of being equal with God for the role of a servant. He gave up all that glory that he had with the Father before the world existed, his glorious environment. Instead of dwelling in the splendor of heaven in that intimate relationship with the Father, Jesus assumed a more humble existence. Though Jesus was exactly equal with the Father in all things, in glory, in power, in wisdom, in splendor, he assumed a role beneath the Father. Though Jesus had every right to play that role of the Father, he wasn't interested in his own rights. Our salvation was more important to him. It was more important to him than his own comfort. And so he came into this world, even though he knew that coming into this world would cause self-sacrifice. It would cost him dearly. You know, when we look at Jesus, when we look at what he chose to do, it really is striking, isn't it? Because it's exactly the opposite of what we would do. We do consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. After all, wasn't that the first temptation that came to Eve when the serpent came to Eve and tempted her to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You will be like God, knowing good and evil. We don't want to be servants, but we want to strive for all of the best things that we can have in this world. And as we strive after these things, how often do we see in our own lives those thoughts come into our minds? Those thoughts of jealousy and of hatred for those who have more. Those thoughts of being discontent with all that God has given to us. And aren't we always falling for that same temptation that Eve fell for? You know, every time we sin, we break the first commandment, don't we? We're to have no other gods but the Lord our God. And yet how often when we sin are we saying to God, my way is better. I know better than you do. And so we reach out and we grasp to put ourselves in that place of God, to be equal with God, even pushing him out of that top place and putting ourselves in that place. Verse 5 of the text that we just read says that our attitude should be that of Jesus, who operated in just the opposite way that we do. But how often do we fail? And so that's why Jesus came. Look at what he did. He humbled himself. He came into this world as a king, but not as a king that was heralded to be the supreme ruler of the world at his birth, but he came quietly in a stable in Bethlehem. He wasn't a king that came to be loved by all people, but he was hated by the Jews. They bitterly hated him. They wanted to kill him. Jesus wasn't a king that rode on in a big long procession with people carrying him on a bed with trumpets going before him and people throwing up confetti, but he came humbly, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to die. Verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And why did Jesus do this? Why did he take on this human flesh? Why did he come to die for us? Well, that's why. He came to die for us, for you and for me. He didn't come to be the king that we might expect. He certainly didn't come to be the king that the Jews expected in their day. They wanted someone who was going to be an earthly ruler, who was going to overthrow the Roman government and reestablish the throne of David. And he doesn't come to be the king that we might want either. He doesn't come to be that king that's going to just simply erase all of the evil in the world and give us easy lives here on earth. Because our God is a just God. And if he would do that, that does absolutely nothing to take care of the problem of our sin. But no, Jesus doesn't come as the king that we might want, but he does come as the king that we need. He came as the king who would save us from all of our sin. He came as the humble king who would give us the victory. As one who was fully human, he lived in every way that we do. But as one who was fully God, he was able to live that life for us perfectly, in our place. As one who was fully human, he humbled himself to the point of death. But as one who was fully God, that death was actually able to count for all of us, to be that acceptable sacrifice to God that gives us the victory over Satan and death. Paul describes our humble king this way in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And we are rich, beyond our wildest imagination, because our humble king has come. He has won that victory over sin and death for us. And we have eternal life with him forever. Amen. We close this morning with hymn 162. We'll sing verses 2, 4, and 5. Verses 2, 4, and 5 of hymn 162.